the worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Radio fashion. See, it's already started here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Funtime Radio, but sounds like it so far. This is Save Wrestling, the podcast, and my first ever guest here on location at RVD's office. It's RVD.
Yo, that's my cue, Shelly. What up?
Well, when Danielle and I first started Blog Talk Radio, which you inspired me when you were doing yours, you know, when I went on yours.
Always glad to serve as an inspiration.
Yes. And we had a lot of days like this where last second we call in and we kind of go, oh, my gosh. But now what I've learned is I don't get stressed out about it. I just go with it. Well, that's just one of those things. I don't know. With your podcast, have you ever experienced that? Down to the wire, or are you organized?
I'm so unorganized. Anybody that knows me knows I'm not a planner. Like, I think this goes with everything in my life. Like, I need the pressure to perform. You know, like, everything. Like, I could never get out of bed to go to school as a kid until I absolutely had to get out. I didn't
right.
have 1 minute to spare. I'd miss the bus. I've always been like that with everything. And anyone that wrestles me knows you can't find me until right before the match. And that's who I am. Also, by the way, my very first RVD radio show that
yeah.
I did started out similar to yours, but even worse, because I didn't even know if it worked. I was doing myself. The very first words on my first RVD radio are like, hello, I don't know if anyone's listening out there. I suppose this was working, and I just had no idea.
Yeah, I've totally have done that before. Or when I came back to Blog Talk for Save Wrestling out here on VOCNation.com, it was one of those things where I forgot, like, that pressure, because Danielle and I went to a pre-recorded podcast now, so it wasn't live, it was a live element. So I thought my music was going to hit, and it didn't, so I literally opened it and was going, oops. And then I wasn't, but now it's kind of, like, funny to me. It's like, it is what it is.
I like informal. I mean, overall, when you look at entertainment and how it's gone, informal is just the best word to use for that, but it sounds bad to say lack of professionalism, but when you look at entertainment overall, we have people on TV now, like with reality shows, that never, ever should have been on TV. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
You see people that are like, oh, my God, that person belongs in the middle of the country, maybe, you know, with their face never shown. And these are our stars, the Honey Boo Boo, stuff like that. It's like in the whole reality show genre, I mean, it's like people who aren't actors, who aren't professionals, put in the position of still telling the story, you know,
mm-hmm.
in that continuum. And so I like that, though. I like the fact that, you know, I mean, I have a million projects outside of wrestling. I like the fact that, sure, some people go to school, you know, for 20 years and have all this experience. And just like I have all my experience in wrestling, every field that I feel myself trying to venture into, you know, whether it's making the T-shirts or the toys or whatever, the movies, the documentaries, I always feel like there's people that are experts have been doing that
right.
as long as I've been. You know what? Fuck it. There's no reason we can't try it anyway.
Totally.
Good.
So it's interesting because it was one of those things where I found that in the morning, I'm not where I want to be right now, so I need to put out more, you know, effort out there. So I found that it was got up super early because Danielle goes to work like at 6 o'clock in the morning. I walk her to the bus because it's still dark. So I get up at like 5:30, and on those days, man, I would bang out all these things, like just everything going with the flow. But the days that her off days, I would sleep, and I would find it hardest to even get up at 7, 8 o'clock. And so what I did is I said, you know what, I have to commit myself. So on YouTube every day, I record myself with the shoot time of what time it is, and I document my day. I call it the iPhone Diaries and seeing how much I got done. But it's because of what you're saying, I had to put pressure on myself in order to do it. And it's weird. It's like I had to, like, psych myself out. So really, I'm like, if no one cares about my videos, I don't care. I just know that I have to do them. So that's how I go about it, because when I don't have pressure, I slack. I'm working on it, but I'm trying to figure out why it's hard for me. So I don't know.
I don't know. For me personally, I've just, like, I guess I've accepted it. It's not that I don't think there's room to change, to improve, but I just know, like, my whole life, I've always been like that, and most people that know me know to work around that, but I still have the inner struggle and frustrations of having projects that I really, really want to get done, but then I don't put enough effort or time towards it because mm-hmm. I'm, you know, spread out or whatever, so, but yeah, that's what, how I tick, you know what I mean? Like, I can, if I have a flight that leaves at 12 o'clock and I want to be there at 11 to give myself plenty of time, and I know if I leave my house at 10:30, then I'll be at the airport at 11, there's no way possible I'm going to leave the, I think I'm going to leave the house, I plan on leaving the house on time, but it's always going to be 5 to 11, it's those last, you know, right when I'm ready to go out the door, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just do this and this, and I'll, maybe I'll hit the bathroom, and oh, I forgot this,
yeah.
And next thing I know, it's like, oh my God, I have 1 minute to spare before I'm not going to be allowed to check in, but that's like, 99% of my travel, it's always like that, and I drive people nuts to travel with me, understandably so, but that's just the way I roll.
No, I get it, I'm the same way, and I've been trying to work on it, and I've gotten a lot better, but Danielle and I have talked about, hi Danielle, you're here too.
Hi Danielle.
Hi. And it's like that, going back to Booger's shirt, high on stress. We get high off of that stress of, oh, I got to get there. Well, I notice the people that are super planned out all the time, like, they always have a lot on their mind because they're like, I have to make sure I have enough time for this and that, because they already pre-think all those things, and then we're kind of people in the moment who are, oh, yeah, let me go check the door, or let me go do this and that real quick. It's just like, okay, I need to leave, like, at this time, so I can do this and that. And it's like, ooh, no way. Like, we have the moment stress that we fly with, not like the anticipation stress. I think that's a little different.
Yeah, so the pressure, the time pressure is important. But other than that, I've always found that I think the goal of every day is just to face the stresses thrown at you and to try to maintain balance.
Yeah.
Like for me, if I had to describe life or the goals of, or the process of living life, that's it for me, trying to remain balanced regardless of all the stressful situations that I seem to have no control over, you know, bad luck. I could come up with a million examples, but we all know, and whether it's directly on us or people we know or family, you know, or people are sick or whatever, I mean, and it piles on, and you get, it's like, you know, it's always testing you.
Absolutely.
And so most people that know me, they seem to be, they seem to find pride in me, in my balance, if that makes sense. You know, that like as a compliment, it's how I take it anyway. I'm often told I'm the most laid wrestler. Oh man, Rob, I bet nothing gets you upset. That's not true. I love that I put off that vibration, that I'm seen that way. And that is also a conscious effort besides my natural default.
Right.
But that's life.
Well, can I have a nerd alert right here? Because I'm going to have a nerd alert right here.
Okay.
So I remember back in the fake ECW days when, you know, you and I got to become friends.
Yeah.
My goal, I was like, I want to be the female version of Rob. Like, because yeah. I got to know you behind the scenes, you know what I mean? And, like, it was been quite the journey, but I would like to, right here on Save Wrestling, shake your hand that I get that, and that inspired me, and now I've applied that to not only my personal life, but in wrestling, and it makes wrestling so much more fun, and now, like, when I used to watch you get ready for your match, like, or when Kevin Thorne was, like, having his whole thing with you, and I'd, like, see this whole thing, there was something I was envious of as a performer that you had,
yeah.
And now I get it. It took me a while to understand. I knew I wanted it. But now I get it. So
we'd be in the ring, bringing the fans up to their feet, you know, with the moves and the story we're telling in the ring and the action, and people would be, you know, really digging it. Fans would be like thriving, going nuts over it. And underneath all that, I would take time sometimes during the match after I do like a big jumping fancy spinning kick, bam, and I look at the crowd, yeah, RVD, and I'd go over and like stick my head through the ropes and try and make you laugh.
Yes, you would. And like, that's what I do, like, in my matches, whether they're technically good or they're just a comedy match or I'm just the popcorn match because I'm the girl with the boobs, I get it. I just kind of go into it like that, and it just makes me have so much fun. And no matter what happens in the match, I found that not only do the fans have fun, which is, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, but for me as a wrestler, it makes me feel so gratified when my opponent, especially if it's like somebody who's less experienced, I've been recently experiencing that with some girls, and seeing how nervous they are and seeing that my vibe and going into the match made them feel so much better, and just to see them go from that look of, oh, can we over it again, Alma, to at the end them going, you're right. And I, because it's like, who cares? Like, recently I was in Texas, and Trina Michael, she was like, I'm kind of nervous, I'm not a wrestler, I'm not, I go, look, we're a bra and panties match, all they care about is we're two girls, and they want to see us in our bra and panties. Like, that's it. So, like, it doesn't matter. If we suck, it doesn't matter. That's all we have to do is you are a bitch, and I am, yay, and they want to see our boobs. That's it. And, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I went with it. And it was funny because before, when I used to go into a match and see maybe I kind of didn't hit something so clean, I get nervous, and that would make me come out of, like, but now, like, when we had a couple botched spots, and I just went, modified, and, like, Ginger anyways, you know, and they laughed, and they're like, oh, my gosh. So, like, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
And it's great if you can bring that perspective outside of the ring, too. I mean, it's obviously easier to say than to actually do, but if you can look at life the exact same way and say, you know what, it's not perfect. It's fucking never perfect. But if you can have fun with it anyway, you're winning.
Totally.
Yeah. And you look at all these miserable people that keep themselves in this negative spiral where they just focus on everything crappy that's going on with them. They don't. They're beating themselves up, not giving themselves a break because, you know, we can choose what we think about. And obviously, I mean, you got to focus on problems. You got to work shit out. That's part of, you know, being balanced. You got to pick all the pebbles out of the river to get a constant flow of Zen. You know what I mean? But you do have a choice of what you think about. And for me, it's a conscious effort to try to think about things that will put out and exude a positive vibration, because then that's what I'm feeling inside. You can't think good thoughts and feel bad. You can't.
True, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's impossible.
And likewise, you can't be thinking bad thoughts and feel good. It's a direct connection, and that causes your mood, and that also then causes the vibration that you put out. And not only will that bring like things into your life that vibrate at that similar vibration, but also you're being perceived as such. And that, and I can point out a couple times in life where that really first knocked me on the head. You know what I mean? I mean, we all see miserable people with, oh, God, I don't want to be him.
Right.
You know, I mean, that person sucks. Their life sucks. It's not going to get any better because, look at them, they hate life. I remember years ago in the real ECW, one time, and I don't know if this was the first time. Obviously, I was a martial artist. I've been, you know, studying, you know, Zen philosophies, and I love, you know, the Buddhists and the monks. But there was one particular night that really stuck out where I brought a friend, Larry Weaver, to the matches with me. We were at the Lulu Temple in outside of Philadelphia. And my friend, like, he disappeared for a while. When he came up to me, he goes, hey, man, he goes, Chris Jericho is my new favorite wrestler. And I was actually a little offended. And I was like, what? Hey, what do you mean? What do you mean he's your favorite wrestler? He goes, no, you know what? He stood there, and he goes, I just talked to him for like 20 minutes. He doesn't know me. He didn't have to talk to me, but he was so cool. And he goes, and he goes he's my new favorite wrestler. And that just really affected me. Just, I was like, something inside of me made me think, wow, I think that'd be cool to have someone say that about me.
Right.
And honestly, I think when I look back at it now, I think I was a dick at that time. I really do. I was a bad guy in the ring, and I was enjoying carrying that out and just living that persona, and it was that. And a while later, when I was in WWE, I noticed the exact same qualities about The Rock. I saw him. No one was looking at him. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He's walking down the hallway in a corner where nobody is, but the janitor stopped, and he's talking to the janitor just like it was an agent, you know,
right,
talking about the match. And I was just like, man, you know, I admired that that vibration that I felt and saw so much that I wanted to emulate it, you know, and that really was influential to me to want to make the changes so that I would be seen as not necessarily a dickhead, but a cool guy.
Well, nobody likes that. Well, everybody out there, this is VOC Nation, and if you would like to call, maybe we'll answer your call. Go ahead and give us one at 855-VOC-RADIO, that's 855-862-7234. We're just talking about life over here and a little bit of wrestling with RVD, and we are going to have a little commercial break, and next we'll be taking your calls. Maybe see what Danielle thinks of all this. We haven't heard from you, and we'll be right back.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Okay, good. Call up you suckers.
The VOC Nation Radio Network brings you live, original programming 6 days a week. Mondays at 12:30, step into the Diva Lounge with Lady B from NYC, 3:30 Eastern Time. BFF Connects with Amber O'Neill and Shelly Martinez. On Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Untamed and Irrelevant with Eric and Ira. On Wednesdays, the flagship, the VOC Wrestling Nation, starts at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, immediately followed by Just Guys. Take a trip inside the mind of the average male. Listener discretion is advised. Thursday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 hours of sports radio. It's Totally Driven Radio. On Friday nights, step into the Friday Night Funhouse. 2 hours of comedy with our man, AK. And then on Sundays, the guys from the UK, the Wrestling Truth presents the Supla live, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Get to any of our shows toll-free nationwide by calling 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation. The VOC Nation Radio Network, now heard exclusively worldwide at VOCNation.com.
The following commercial for the Supla Show may not make any sense.
Can't help but read these in Scott's voice. That's the problem. Because you can't read this in a normal voice.
It's not the, it's not the rambling of a coherent man.
It's fucking gibberish, but it makes sense. He's the only man to write jack shit, but it makes perfect sense. How in the f*** has he done this? He's a genius!
Catch the Supla every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time only on VOCNation.com.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! Whether you want traditional telephone service, or if you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud with hosted PBX, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Most customers save between 10 and 30% on their monthly telecommunication bills. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Hello, this is ECW Original, former WWE superstar, the Blue Meanie. This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize this. If you are looking to do any kind of autograph session, personal or private, with the greatest in professional wrestling, people always ask me, Blue Meanie, how can I have you on my show? Well, if you'd like to have myself, the BWO, or anybody else, you don't need to go any further than WrestlingMarks.com. Just go to WrestlingMarks.com. Drop him a line, give him a call. My boy Eric will take care of you right away. Now recognize that, partner.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Are we back on? I guess so. Well, because here's the thing. I've been doing the boards for the last couple weeks, so I do my commercial breaks differently. But thanks. Shout out to Bianca for doing the message boards this week for us. And let's see here. Do we have any calls, Bianca? If we do, text me and let me know. Until then, Danielle, do you have anything to add? Danielle, did you know that Danielle's now in wrestling?
What?
Yeah. Well, I totally didn't plan on this, and it's just one thing led to another. I had this character that I envisioned, like a raver party girl, and I approached Sexy Chino saying, hey, let's do this photo shoot at me as this character with you. I think it'd be a good fit, And then we decided to take it on the stage, and Hood Slam up in Oakland is where we debuted. And, yeah, I've been getting involved with DWF and a couple different promotions, playing different characters. And it's funny you were talking about the girls being nervous and everything, because I've been over here listening to your conversation, like absorbing it all, because at moments I get a little nervous because I'm like, okay, I know how sensitive wrestling can be, especially the social part. You don't want to step on anyone's toes. And I understand that I'm Shelly's little sister, and I'm just, you know, going into people's territory there. But, you know, I try to be careful and not, you know, be a problem. And it just is cool because you're really reminding me, Shelly, yesterday at CWF to, like, relax, don't worry about it, just have fun. And, like, I noticed a lot of the performers that I really enjoy watching are the ones having fun and, like, letting go and not getting all psyched up in their head. And that's cool, like, as a performer, to see people just ease into it.
Like, hold on, Momo. I'm working right now.
I think maybe Bianca was... Oh, a little timing in the combo. But, yeah, going back to what you guys were saying earlier, I really need to hear this because I have been surrounded by a lot of negative people recently, and just their way of thinking and making, you know, me feel as someone who's positive, they want to kind of keep that down, and I see that. And they want to put all these pressures and, like, make you feel like, no, you have to put these priorities first because I'm in this negative mind space, and what's important to me has to be important to you. So it's cool to be around you guys talking about positivity, what you throw out there, and it's a refresher, and I'm sure people listening feel the same way. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Right on. Well, I mean, you're always around supporting Shelly on everything that she does. So, I mean, it's a natural fit, you know, that you would start venturing into some of her entertainment aspects. So good for you. That's it's true what you say about the wrestling business. I think haters are in all walks of life, and so you have to believe in yourself in order to get past that, no matter what it is that you want to do, because everyone's going to tell you that you can't do it. And with wrestling, there is a particular hierarchy that can be very frustrating, because like you said, there's you know, there's the food chain, and there's the level of command, and there's like you know, it's basically just like hey, my dad used to beat me growing up, so I'm going to beat my kids too. That's the way I see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean me personally, by the way. I don't have kids, and my dad didn't beat me. But I mean, that's the kind of logic that goes into the wrestlers that want to keep everyone else down because they had to go through that, and they were, you know. And I get that, and you know, traditionalism definitely has its values. But I remember when I first came in, I was so uncomfortable for many years. I wasn't relaxed and cool. That came with experience, you know. When I think back to my first few years in the business, talking to the veterans and stuff, I mean, I was, like, so out of place, you know. I mean, these guys had all these battle stories, talking from all, oh, yeah, then we went to Japan, and I remember in Germany, and I was just starting out, and I was like, I don't want them to know how young and inexperienced and green and how much I don't fit. I didn't want that to know. So you got part of you trying to defend that, like, oh, sure, yeah, I can relate. And then part of you, you know, that's inside going, oh, my God, I need to run for the door, you know. And I didn't even like to admit that I was green. I thought that was a put-down, you know. So I said, oh, you know, these guys are green. What? I'm not green. Even my first match, of course I was green. You know what I mean? But I didn't want to admit that. And it took a long time. Actually, I've been wrestling like 23 years, and I would just say, like, in the last few years, I reached, like, a certain stage where I'm like, you know what? I deserve to have the respect. You know, I've earned this place. Because TNA, they've treated me really well. You know what I mean? They've, like, first-class treatment. And that was a big change from WWE, where I still felt like I was a little kid. Even if I was in my mid-30s, I felt like the business was owned by the older people that want to keep the younger people down and make them pay their dues for decades until they get to the level that they're at, because that's how they hold on to their position, you know. And it's there's a lot of tricks to it. So, you know, me being the nonconformist that I am, I just kind of went my own route and kind of earned respect and connection from the fans first, which confused the promoters, then went in the back way. You know, they're like, well, I don't know why he's over. He's not like, you know, like a cookie-cutter wrestler, but I don't know, we got to do something with him. The fans like him. It's kind of like that for me, I think. Yeah. As far as getting over in the business. And then, and like I said, that transfers over into life. I mean, at a certain point, you got to say, okay, because, I mean, right now, at 42, I don't have any kids. I don't have things to gauge my age upon, really.
Right. The normal thing.
No, exactly. I mean, you'd be surprised at how different that makes me, because I don't feel old. I hear or read comments sometimes on Twitter, you know, and otherwise I wouldn't even realize that people, you know, some people would consider me old. Oh, every day you're old. I'm like, I am?
Yeah.
I thought in order to be old, that meant that, you know, like your body was breaking down, mm-hmm. You couldn't do it much anymore. You didn't have the pain tolerance or the energy, you couldn't move as good. Well, I don't have any of those problems. And I'm still, you know, I'm just still me. You know what I mean? And time goes by so quick. 5 years, bam. 10 years, bam. It's quick like that. You know, basically one of the only things I have to gauge that movement with life is that I still have my parents. And obviously they're reaching, you know, an elderly age, and that concerns me just because, you know, they say they won't be around forever. There's probably some truth to that. You know, otherwise, I would have no issues. I don't have the regular hang-ups that other people do with age, or a lot of other hang-ups that people have, too.
Right.
I have my own standards, and I do fine by my standards.
Well, I like your standards. Your standards are A-okay in my book. Before we go further, we have Bianca, who is, you know, taking care of the message board today. She wanted to share a story about when you were not a jerk, when you said you were maybe a jerk.
Okay.
So, Bianca, we have you. We have you on speaker, so hopefully we can hear you all right.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good, good.
I'm glad everything's going okay. Rob, first of all, huge, huge fan. I missed the hell out of you.
Thank you.
And yes, exactly. I there is a story in particular that I have where I can personally say that you were not a dick, okay? My stepbrother, God rest him, he went to go see an ECW show back when it was, you know, mainly brought in Philadelphia, and he went with a few friends of his. And they happened to see a couple of the guys, like, exiting the building after the show was done. And I don't know if you remember this guy. He was, like, kind of, like, around 5'6", 7". He always wore sunglasses. He had a tattoo of a panther on his arm. And he accidentally bumped into you at one point. And he thought that you were going to, like, be like, oh, what the hell's the matter with you? But you were very cool. You were very cool. He calls me up, and he was like, I bumped into him. Any of these other guys, they look like they would kick your ass the minute you, like, accidentally, like, brush them. But he was not a bad guy. He's very, very awesome.
Okay.
What was that?
Thanks for adding to our convo over there, Bianca.
So I just figured I would, you know, let it be known that back then he really was not a jerk. Because Lord knows my stepbrother, he called me up and he was absolutely ecstatic because Rob was one of his favorites.
Tell your brother that's always bothered me that he bumped me, and I've always had to have him on my mind. I don't see him again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, let me let you guys go. Have a wonderful show. And definitely, I hope to meet you one day, Rob.
Cool. Right on.
All right, Shelly. I'll get back to the board.
Okay, so... like, you know, a lot of the fans, they feel like they connect with you, it seems. And when you were a wrestling fan back in the day, did you feel like that was something that you, like, is that something you ever fantasized about and that's why you're open, or are you just because you're Rob Van Dam and that's who you are, that's why the fans love you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you ever say to yourself, well, I would like it if back in the day, person I was a fan of, blah, blah, blah.
No. Yeah, but when I wanted to be a wrestler when I was young, I didn't think of all the details that came along with the job. I wanted to I wanted to wrestle. You know what I mean? I used to practice all the moves. I used to always create my own moves. And, you know, and then I was into kickboxing. So I had, you know, I had my kicks, and I was showing off on a diving board. So that's where I learned all my flips and stuff. And I wanted to use those moves and my ingenuity, my innovativeness to try to be different and have a different, you know, niche. And I never really, I never saw myself on the standards of the wrestlers that I was watching. Like, I never looked at TV and was thought, yeah, I could be in the ring with, you know, whoever, Junkyard Dog or Roddy Piper. No, I mean, I was just a kid. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that I would ever be world champion. Hell no, that never crossed my mind. And I didn't think that I would have so many fans that thought so much of me either. You know what I mean? It was just like, what are you going to do for a career? You know, you're going to get out of high school, you're going to join the Army, you're going to go to college. I was like, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. It's going to be great, you know, because it seemed very, very exciting. But I hadn't broken down all those details. I would say that a lot of the connection that I have with the fans, I think, comes from, and this is based on feedback that I hear, I think they see me as being genuine, and I love that. That's like one of my most heartfelt things to hear about myself, you know, that really goes a long way. But I think somehow that's different. I think somehow that's something the other celebrities lost, because it seems like once they reach a certain stage, a lot of people who become famous lose that connection. It's like they can't relate. It's like they become something different. Mm-hmm. I've never understood that. I've never crossed any line. I'm just a real person. You know, I mean, this is the house I grew up in.
Right.
These are the kids that I hung out with, and that never changes. And I don't even know how to change it. I don't know how to look at the fans like they're a different species. And it's weird to me when other wrestlers or celebrities of any kind does that, but I feel like that's the majority and I'm the minority. Like, fans, when they approach me for an autograph, they start by saying, oh, I know you hate this, but
right.
Where's that come from? Who said I hate this?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? The real guy.
For sure. You know, it's see, Blog Talk. You got to love Blog Talk. Shout out Blog Talk Radio. we have a call coming in, and we're going to go ahead and take that if that's okay with you. And we have caller 901. What's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, what's going on? It's AK calling from LA, California.
What's going on?
We're in LA, California.
Time or two.
We're in Hollywood, right? Who speaks?
I just tuned into the show. Who is your guest?
Oh, you know, no big deal. Just Rob Van Dam is all.
Rob Van Dam? I met Rob Van Dam a long time ago at a UPW show when John Cena was wrestling as the Prototype.
I remember those days, absolutely.
You know what's interesting? This is the third time in within a week that someone's brought up that time. Isn't that weird?
I had a question for RVD. Like, the first time you went on the road, was that hard?
Well, the first, I mean, you know, it builds up to, you build up to a certain level. So the first time I went on the road, you know, was probably like a 2-day trip or something, you know, which was a big deal. Definitely not hard. We were so excited, you know, to get out on the road and wrestle. And first few years were like that. You know, I lived in Michigan, but would wrestle in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, you know, somewhere where we could get booked. And that would often require a stay over at a hotel. And technically being on the road, you know, loved it. It didn't start getting hard for me until I started wrestling for All Japan, which I started in 1993, and I hated it. I hated being on the road over there because we would be the shortest tour all year for All Japan is the February tour. It's 15 days. The other ones are 3 weeks, 4 weeks. There's a 5-week tour. And even that short 15-day tour seemed so fucking long to me. It was 10-hour bus rides. And shitty truck stops with horrible food choices, you know, like, let's see, do I want the fried octopus testicles or the catfish snout, and I didn't eat any of that, and I had a hard time, and everything was so expensive, too. You know, like when you first start going to Japan, your whole goal is to try not to spend any money. You know, like I would bring a, I remember grabbing a Coke out of the refrigerator and getting yelled at by the Blackhearts, who were jerks anyway, but they were trying to, you know, trying to, you know, look out for it. Like, dude, don't buy that out of your, because it's 210 yen out of your, out of your refrigerator. If you go across the street over the hallway, it's 100 yen, man. You'll save. And I was like, oh, okay, my bad. You know, it took a long time to get used to that. In fact, Giant Baba wanted me to come back a lot more often than I wanted to. And as has been my whole career, I've always kind of done it by my standards. Whole year went by. I did 93 February tour, and a whole year went by, and then I did 94 February tour. So I didn't want to go on those 3 or 4 weeks. And then, you know, they kept calling me, and I go, oh, not ready yet. And then eventually I started taking the bookings. But that, I was so homesick, nothing. But, I mean, every back then they were so conformed, too. Like now we've really given the American rub on the rest of the world, you know what I mean? But 10, 15 years in Japan, it was so different. Like, all the men dressed the same in suits. All the women dressed the same. When the crosswalk becomes available, they all walk, like, in unison. Like, they're stepping together. Like, they have one brain. It used to freak me out. And then it was, you know, and if I happened to see something, like, you know, 10 days into the tour, you see somebody with blonde hair. Oh, my God. You know, it was like, oh, my God, look at that. She's got blonde hair. Holy cow. They were all just, it was like that. It was like, oh, we were so homesick. At least I was, you know, and it took a long time to come over that.
I got to tell the people out there that RVD is a very approachable person. Like, I've tried to meet other pro athletes and, like, basketball, football players, they're jerks compared to, like, pro wrestlers. Every pro wrestler I've ever met has always been grateful enough to talk to me for 5 minutes and give me an autograph, you know?
That's cool. All right, your 5 minutes is over.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. And give us a call next week.
Cool.
So, Danielle, you wanted to know about... Okay, John Cena used to wrestle, and he was named the Prototype. And he was Rick Bassman. That's UPW, Rick Bassman's alter. So... Seriously, last night there was a girl at the CWF Hollywood taping. She came in. She's a fan. And she was talking about just that. She goes, remember John Cena did that? She goes, yeah. And then one of the people there had said, oh, I remember you. You came in to train a couple times. And then they started talking about it. And they talked about Cena. And then a couple days before that, somebody else brought that up. And then now this caller did.
Funny. And you were talking about synchronized something or
other? Synchronicity.
Okay, what's that?
Meaningful coincidences that happen throughout your lifetime. I have for many years journalized the coincidences and I study patterns among them and I try to figure out my own spiritual path.
Mm.
And this is something I started doing after reading this book called The Celestine Prophecy. It's a fictional book, but it's based on the real elements of that like-minded people can relate to. And they also have nonfiction sequels to it, by the way. Celestine Vision, Study Guide, a bunch of stuff like that. And I do have it all. But that book changed my way of thinking years ago from I used to feel like I had a guardian angel that just sitting on my shoulder throughout my whole life that guided me and helped me. And then after reading that book, I realized there's many people, not just me, but many people that feel that, and that we all, you know, through conversations could relate in ways we didn't think other people could relate to, and I've actually, you know, changed my understanding to where I think we're all supposed to be connected internally to this divine energy that runs through everything, and most people don't know about that, and when you're disconnected, you're clearly not guided. The synchronicities don't happen as much. You're off your path. And that's where a lot of negativity comes into your life. Like, mm-hmm. To stay on your path, you have to be vibrating at your utmost positive frequency. You have to. That's where the conscious effort comes in. And if you study these synchronicities and you start writing them down and you notice whenever you're not thinking happy thoughts, if you notice you catch yourself dwelling on whether it's, you know, being worried or aggravated or frustrated or whatever, mad, angry, negative feelings, you're off your path. If you notice that, you can consciously shift that and get yourself back on your path. It's very rewarding because it feels like God's walking you through life. I'm sure that's probably hard to understand, but to give you a few examples, I mean, some things are like, you know, okay, so in a few weeks, you know, this is the third time someone mentioned John Cena as a prototype. Okay, that's, you know, what I would consider like a lower level. You know, like, yeah, you know, that's kind of weird that keeps coming up. But as I've studied it, I found some synchronicities are just amazing. And I always say, what are the odds? That's what I always go back to. What are the odds? You know, some of them, you know, you can like, okay, whatever. And other ones you just can't deny. They're like magical. Last time I was up here at my office, I drove by Mansfield Avenue, which I don't think I've noticed that before. And it struck me like, oh, look at that. I texted my friend, Eddie Mansfield. I said, I just passed Mansfield Avenue in Hollywood. And he's like, oh, man, I haven't seen that in years. Well, a few hours later, I find out my car has been towed because you can't park after 8 o'clock on the curb. I go down to get the address where I get my car. Boom, Mansfield Avenue.
I know that place very well.
Okay.
They took our car.
Some of the synchronicities come in from a bunch of different angles and all meet at once. One thing that recently happened that I'm one of the bigger ones that I keep holding on to and I keep finding myself telling people because I'm so amazed at it. You know, we lost our dog Zena.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, who live in Florida, they recently decided to get a dog. You know, they lost theirs before we lost ours, and they got a dog, a rescue dog, and she has a sister. They don't want to split up the sisters, so they get these two. They're half Chihuahua, half Yorkie, called Shorties. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh my God, that's cute!
Yeah. You know, Zena is a Chihuahua. But so the sister who they got by default because they didn't want to separate them, they named them Lola and Phoebe. But on paper, and they showed me the paper, that came with the dogs, Phoebe's name on paper is Zena 2 with the number 2.
Shut up.
I get goosebumps.
Oh, my God.
Goosebumps are a sign of that energy when you open it up like that.
Really?
I can tell you like so many that'll just, I'll tell you one more just because it's on the tip of my tongue right now. And this is one that's going to amaze you even more because it comes in from different directions. Okay. So, my friend from Vegas, Dane, he's driving down to LA. We're going to meet at Venice Beach, right? Well, I'm already down there hanging out. And he calls me and he says, hey, you know, we'll be there in a few minutes. I said, oh, okay, cool. I'm not. He says, you know where a hotel is around here to stay at? I said, in Venice? I said, dude, the only hotel I can even think about it was like the Marina Del Rey, whatever it was, Best Western, whatever. I said, like 12 years ago, you know, when I wrestled in LA and didn't live here, a wrestling promoter put me up there. Jamaica Bay Inn, it's called. It's a nice hotel. I said, but I had, besides that, I don't have anything else to tell you. I'm sure we'll figure something out, though, but it's been years. He goes, all right, cool. Where are you at? And I said, okay, I'm on, whatever. I'm on Speedway. He's on this. I said, we'll keep walking. I'll meet you at this corner, right? So we're going towards the corner. In the meantime, I even forgot that I was meeting him, you know what I mean? Because I'm into the, you know, into the sunny day or whatever. You know? And then he calls my name. He goes, hey, Rob. And I look at him. Oh, hey, that's my friend Dane. I forgot about him. I go up to him, and right when I go to shake his hand, somebody else from the other, you know, from the right of me says, RVD. And I look over, and I don't recognize the guy. I figure it's just a fan. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, and I shake Dane's hand. And the guy comes up and goes, you don't remember me, do you? And I'm looking at him. I'm like, from? He goes, Eric Shaw. He goes, I'm a wrestling promoter. I booked you to wrestle here like over 10 years ago.
O-M-G.
This stuff happens more. Just the more you put energy into it, the more you'll discover it. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, people that are bird watchers, they see a million more birds a day than you or I do.
Right.
Just because we don't notice.
Right.
This kind of stuff, I know with the synchronicities, the further you unfold it, you will either discover or you'll be missing, but it's there. The patterns of life that are on a level that maybe we're not even supposed to understand.
Right.
But the closer we get to it, the higher ascension we achieve, if that makes any sense.
It totally does, because, you know, things like this, I was always aware of since I was a little girl, but not understand. And now that I understand, it's such a normal thing. And, like, if I'm hanging out with, like, my friends, for example, and, you know, they know how I am, and, like, you know, I'm always spiritual, and I always go there, they'll trip out and be like, oh, my gosh, this is great, you're so psychic. And I'm like, no, it's not even about that. It's just, this is life, and this is what happens, whether or not, you know, it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. And when I'm talking about peeling it back further, mm-hmm. that's something that takes, you know, a certain perspective and a lot of effort and energy to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I jot them down, but I have done that before. Like when I left WWE, I went through my journal and I decided I was going to try to read it from the back forward and find out, did I, you know, have, like, am I catching on to something before it happens? Because, you know, people look at that as being psychic, but I think that I'm feeling the vibration, you know, of the big spider web that covers everything, of something happening, or am I manifesting it to happen by my thoughts and it happens later? So I tried to read backwards from my journal, and I found it so enlightening. It was an aha moment for me, like out of my whole life. Like this was amazingly enlightening. That book answered so many questions for me. I got so high off of the energy mm-hmm. of what it was telling me. It was like I was communicating with my own past. And it clearly told me to leave WWE, and that's why I did. Because my contract was coming up. I was burnt out. There was other stuff I wanted to do. But it was a very risky move, stepping off a cliff, you know, a leap of faith with nothing confirmed, nothing in my future at all. But I was like, and after looking at that book, I was fine. I had absolutely no doubt that I was doing the right thing. I clearly saw my path take a big 90-degree angle, and I was like, cool, man, let's do it.
Well, it's funny because last night we were just talking about psychics, and I was saying, you know what, I believe that we all have the power within us to see what they see, but I think part of the problem is we're so wrapped up in our own life, our own distractions, that you have somebody, anybody, can just be outside looking in, and they can, you know, see kind of what's going on. So what you're saying with the journal, you had to kind of look outside of yourself to see that in a way, you know? So I think that's really interesting, and I totally agree. Like, if we all have that potential, and we are constantly in the know more than we think, and we just, like, you know, peeling back those layers.
Yeah, it's like, and as far as the layers go, so I'm in my hotel room one time, and my same friend from Vegas, Dane, he calls to, you know, ask me if I would do his, he's got this podcast, Strip Club Radio, because he works on Strip Club in Vegas. He asked if I would do that, and I'm like, sure, you know. And then someone's clicking on the other line, and it was my other friend, his name is Dango, and he was calling to say something, and, you know, and he wanted to tell me that he went to a strip club the night before or whatever. I was like, all right, cool. And so I wrote that down. I'm like, you know, that's kind of coincidence. He calls for Strip Club Radio, and then he calls saying to a strip club. And then I started peeling it back, you know, saying, I mean, what else is there? Well, let's see. Both of these people have the same position in my life. They're both, like, two of my very best long-term friends,
mm-hmm.
closest people to me that have been my friends for, you know, 15, 20 years plus or more, both of these guys. So they have that in common. They're coming from the same place. One is named Dane, D-A-N-E. One is named Dango, D-A-N-G-O. That's pretty close. I'll write that down, too. Dane lives in Vegas now, but he lived in Georgia. I lived in Georgia when I met him, you know, and Dango lives in Georgia. He's calling from Georgia right now. This is what I mean about unpeeling. Like, I believe that there's so much to that me and my human brain couldn't or didn't see, but it's there, and it's always there. I think that the patterns are always there, and it's a matter of studying it, getting better at it, and it's a very personal journey, too. I mean, it helps to talk, especially to like-minded people that can relate, because you pick each other's energy up, and that's part of the process, but it's still a very personal, magical journey that has to do with you and your own spiritual path.
Really, because everyone has a different path, and, you know, I have my own beliefs, and sometimes people are like, oh, you believe this, and I believe this, and there's some type of animosity between us, and I'm like, no, that's not the case, is we're just on different paths, and we see life, you know, probably pretty similarly because we're spiritual, but we're just, you know, going different directions, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, the synchronicities are always very important. A lot of times days will go by, and I stick it in my mind, okay, I'll write that down later, I'll write that down later, and then I don't. And then when I get around to writing it, I'll write like 3 out of like 10 or 12 that have happened. But, you know, so that's part of the, oh, I should be better at it, which is always there with everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could
right.
be better.
Yeah, everything.
But it's still, I mean, you know, it's something that the more I put into it, the more I get out of it, and it's definitely magical, and that helps lift me up, which, you know, puts me in a better mood. It makes me exude more positive energy and put people in a better mood around me. That's all part of it, you know. It's all about keeping your energy up, always. That's kind of like the rule of thumb behind going through this life, because otherwise you got to go through it anyway, but mm-hmm. you're punishing yourself, you're torturing yourself, you know what I mean?
Well, and you make yourself vulnerable when your energy is low, and that's when I know I've made poor decisions, there's people see me, and that's when they try to take advantage, and, you know, as long as you have that, like, positive uplifting, you know, you're pretty set to handle anything that gets thrown at you.
Yeah, how about this one? I'll try and tell this really quick, because it takes a little bit of a setup, but it's another one of those, you know, where if you write down what are the odds, statistically, this is impossible. This couldn't happen. All right, so we did a show in Tommy Dreamer's town, and we had 2 shows, an afternoon show and a night show, so we had some time off, and we hung out at Tommy Dreamer's house, a bunch of us, up in New York. And I was having this conversation with whoever would listen to me at the time, because I was really into it, and there was, like, Paul London, Brian Kendrick, maybe Spike, I'm not sure, whoever was all, like, there listening to me. I was telling them just about the last 24 hours I'd had and everything that I'd written down, which was amazing. I was telling everybody, and I was like, dude, you know, like, it was everything. Like I pulled into this place because there was a comic book store, and then there was Curves, and we were just talking about Curves, and then there was Sail Seafood, and then Chavo was in there, and Chavo asked me for a ride, which he's never done, and Chavo's name is really Sail, you know, and I was asking him, you know, how can people call you Sail, but and there was all this stuff, and then Hurricane was in the comic book store. What are the odds of that? I just happened to pull over, and there was just so much stuff, you know, and I bought a comic book from there, and in the comic book, Ex Machina, it's about a New York mayor. He's talking about issues of marijuana prohibition. Like, the very first page of the comic, he's talking about Mayor LaGuardia and how he tested marijuana back in the day and found out that none of the claims were true, and how his efforts got buried by Harry Anslinger. And it was just like all this stuff. And I was telling these guys, like, dude, and this happened. And I was telling them, they were all excited. And I was like, damn, something happened with Dreamer. I can't remember. So, okay, Tommy, what happened with us that I was talking about? You couldn't remember. I'm like, damn. And I'm like, well, I'll get back to it. You know, that this happened. Well, I never could remember what happened with Dreamer the night before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the show, and Tommy tells me where a hotel is that I could stay at, you know, in town. So I go there to the hotel. It's not by Tommy's house, but it's in town. And when I'm driving there, there's a DVD place across the store. Right, I stopped and I got a DVD, as used to be my routine at the time, for 18 years and over, and a special DVD. But I'm in my hotel room and I'm writing down all these synchronicities that I had shared with the boys earlier. You know, Sail Seafood, then there was Chavo Sail, there's Curves, we're talking about Curves, and there was another Curves, and LaGuardia. I'm writing all this down and I get to Dreamer and I'm like, shit, what was it? And I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, damn, I can't remember. And then I go, okay, I'm clouding my efforts because I'm frustrated. Frustration is a negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to just, you know, put this down. I'll get back to it later. You know what I mean? So I go, I think I'll put the DVD in and just, you know, pop it in and see what the talent looks like, right? Pop the DVD in. This actor and 2 actresses open up by looking at the camera and saying to me, well, we were waiting for our friends Big Dick Dudley and Tommy Dreamer to show up, but it doesn't look like they're going to make it. So we're going to start this without them.
Oh, my God.
I got goosebumps again. But Dreamer had no idea that even existed. Like, I gave him the DVD. He had no idea that was even on there. Again, what are the statistical odds, you know, that ever happening? Like, that's almost impossible. That's magic. Stuff like that. And when you can, like, follow that stuff enough to know that that's your own personal relationship with the divine energy that's everywhere, that's just like, that's so uplifting.
I get it, because here I am, some girl that said I was going to go be this wrestler in WWE. I do it, and I'm a vampire, who better? Then I bump into RVD, every stop I go, and you have no idea what my thoughts are on cannabis, and you just go and say anything. RVD, why does he keep telling me all these things? Then, lo and behold, it helps me out, fast forward, helps me out big time, fast forward, we're sitting right here. So I get it. Life. What a trip. You got to touch your chin. Speaking of touching your chin, we got to pay some bills over here, so we're going to go to another commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is Larry Zbyszko, wrestling's living legend, VOC Nation Radio, worldwide.
It's time to get driven. Totally Driven Radio comes to you every Thursday night, 2 hours of sports talk, entertainment, and whatever the hell else is on your mind. Totally Driven Radio, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, exclusively in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hello, this is ECW Original, former WWE superstar, the Blue Meanie. This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize this. If you are looking to do any kind of autograph session, personal or private, with the greatest in professional wrestling, people always ask me, Blue Meanie, how can I have you on my show? Well, if you'd like to have myself, the BWO, or anybody else, you don't need to go any further than WrestlingMarks.com. Just go to WrestlingMarks.com. Drop him a line, give him a call. My boy Eric will take care of you right away. Now recognize that, partner.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! Whether you want traditional telephone service, or if you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud with hosted PBX, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Most customers save between 10 and 30% on their monthly telecommunication bills. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Okay, good. Coffee, suckers.
The VOC Nation Radio Network brings you live, original programming 6 days a week. Mondays at 12:30, step into the Diva Lounge with Lady B from NYC. 3:30 Eastern Time, BFF Connect with Amber O'Neill and Shelly Martinez. On Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Untamed and Irrelevant with Eric and Ira. On Wednesdays, the flagship, the VOC Wrestling Nation, starts at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, immediately followed by Just Guys. Take a trip inside the mind of the average male. Listener discretion is advised. Thursday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 hours of sports radio. It's Totally Driven Radio. On Friday nights, step into the Friday Night Funhouse. 2 hours of comedy with our man, AK. And then on Sundays, the guys from the UK, The Wrestling Truth presents The Supla live, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Get to any of our shows toll-free nationwide by calling 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation. The VOC Nation Radio Network, now heard exclusively worldwide at VOCNation.com.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book the Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information, or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Does that mean we're back? I guess so. Well, that's it for this week, but do you have any last-minute things that you would like to talk about in the last few minutes we have here? I know you have your shirts. You have your website. Tell us, brother.
Yeah, first off, I'm looking forward to seeing you at WrestleCon.
Yes. Woo!
In New Jersey. And yeah, you know, up here at the office where we're at in Hollywood right now, one of the projects that I'm spending a lot of time on is the T-shirts. And it's not just shirts, but it's more of a lifestyle brand, I guess you would call it. So it's like logos and designs, and being the nonconformist and the one of a kind, as my WWE music used to describe me as, that, if they can't tell already from listening, that goes not just with my moves. I mean, my moves are different in the ring. That's what a lot of fans like, because I do the Rolling Thunders.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of the ring, I also think different. That's why that works in the ring for me, because I see the world different. And I have a firm, strong belief that we're all individuals and we all see everything different. We're all thinking something different when we're looking at the same thing. You know what I mean? And so I take pride in that. I'm glad to be more of a leader than a follower when it comes to certain things in life. And so to help celebrate that and stand out, this clothing brand, it's officially Platypi Productions. The duck-billed platypus is nature's nonconformist. He's my model. I love the duck-billed platypus. Doesn't fit anywhere. When they found him, they thought he was like a separate species that didn't even fit in. You know what I mean? He's a mammal, but he lays eggs, and he's got, you know, venomous spurs behind his claw, and he does so many crazy strange. But he doesn't try to be anybody else. He's like, dude, I'm just me. You know, you're the one that came up with all these rules and categories and stuff. Love the platypus. So check out the Platypi Productions. You go to platypiproductions.org. You can see a lot of our themed T-shirts and stuff with gorgeous models such as yourself, Shelly, sporting our brand. And, you know, I'm not an artist of that kind. Like, I can't draw something and make it look cool. But I'll have, like, I have a partner, and he does the T-shirt. And I'll say, you know, like I've always said this. This is an RVD saying for years. Rules made before me weren't made for me.
Touche.
Right? I've always felt that. So, bam. I wrote it down, and I think, hey, they both have a four. Rules made before me weren't made for me. And I'm like, is there a way you can play off the four? And I kind of draw something up, and I look at him, and I go, can you make this look cool? And bam, he comes up with the shirt, and then we print it, and then we get Miles to wear it, and bam, you know, that's how we do it. Be yourself. Everyone else has already taken. That's not an original, but I loved it.
Great.
Most of them are original. One of my favorites that I came up with, 99 Problems Trying to Be You Ain't One.
Yeah, I love that. I love that song.
So we put this up on the extra guy's shirt for you right here.
Yeah, buddy.
If you don't already have one.
No, yeah.
No model. And that one's got the pink nonconformity, so that's for the ladies.
Yeah, definitely.
And we appreciate you modeling that. But anyway, so that's one of the things that I'm excited about that I'm getting ready to really blow up. I filmed an RVD TV episode of us printing the shirts up and stuff, and in the next few days I will be posting that episode. But the website, platypiproductions.org, is getting upgraded, you know, as we speak. So everything, you know, will fall into line, and that's something I hope to have our shirts and hats and sweaters and duffel bags or whatever the hell we print the stuff on. I hope to have that everywhere. And there's a button to platypiproductions.org at the bottom of my homepage at robgoddam.com. I always try to make that my hub for everything.
Totally.
So, even this, when you give me the link to this interview, I got a window on my homepage where I put on my recent interviews and audio blogs and, you know, the Twitter feed and just everything that's going on with me, you can usually find at robgoddam.com.
All right. Well, thank you for being my first guest on Save Wrestling, the podcast.
Good luck with the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank all of you for joining me. And thank you, Danielle,
being
here again. Oh, yeah.
Can I get a carrot?
Yes, I do what I can. Chime in here and there. All right. And until next week, we're here to save wrestling. Adios.